Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. It's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I want to begin reading with verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and to cast us out of thy possession, which thou didst give, hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. That'd be a good place for a text. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. He turned their swords against each other. Well, we'll stop reading there. But we want to talk about this battle. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's, we said in verse 15. Now, Jehoshaphat is faced with unexpected invasions by combined forces. There's Moab and Ammon and the Edomites. You turn back to verse 1, you can follow along as we preach. And this situation must have been very trying and very testing to his faith. A test of faith. Jehoshaphat prayed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He obeyed the Lord and completely trusted in Him for the victory. And I want us to consider seven things in this 20th chapter about Jehoshaphat and about his congregation. First of all, we'll notice the trial of faith. You know, in verse 1 and 2, this great multitude came up against him. We just read it. Peter says, Think it not strange when the fiery trials shall come upon you. So many times we're in the same situation, not exactly with an army to face or an enemy like that, but we have enemies of our soul, too, that come. And we meet with trials. We also experience trials of our faith. And Peter says that the trial of your faith, listen carefully, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith, and it's more precious than gold that perishes. James says, in James 1, verses 2 through 4, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But he says, But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. How many of us go through trials? All of us do, don't we? And we have enemies, just like Jehoshaphat had physical enemies. He had an army of all of these nations against him. Ammon, Moab, and other nations, it says others were with them. And coming against him, and he was unprepared for it. But we have enemies on every side, and they're great and powerful. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness. No, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're faced with the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is satanic powers. The world, the flesh, and the devil is all allied against us. We have enemies multiplied against us too. And evil forces. And we have to... Sometimes our spiritual enemies are from without. They're all around us. And other times, from within. We have spiritual enemies that enter in within us. And when they come, they're such as doubts. That's an enemy. Fears. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. It says fear brings torment, but perfect love casteth out fear. If we can learn God's perfect love to us and His care for us, it'll cast out some of the fears we have. And anyway, we have sickness. We have uncertainty in life. Some have financial upsets in their lives. And there are trials of every kind. But our victory is promised because he says the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So all of us know that there are trials that we have. Now then, under great trials of faith, we must depend upon God. Verses 3 through 5, look at the text. Verses 3 through 5, it says, And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I mean, there's some good advice of what he did is what we could do. Certainly we're afraid, but it says, He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. That simply means that he wanted to show the sincerity of his seeking the Lord. And all Judah, gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. So Jehoshaphat did exactly what we should do. Under the trial of faith, we must depend upon God in every instance. He did not, first of all, turn to his own reasoning and say, Well, now I'm going to reason this out, I'm going to figure this thing out, and I'm going to take care of it myself. There's some things we can't take care of ourselves.
Amen.
He didn't turn to himself, and by the way, he didn't turn first to family or friends. It's good to have good advice. Man's help many times is good, but it's limited. Man's help is limited. We come to the end of what we can do. We come to a place of helplessness, and then we have to completely depend upon God. And so he learned in the process of where to turn. The Bible says that we seek not our own understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't look to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Notice, here's the process he went through. He feared, he set himself, and seek, and proclaimed a fast. Feared, set himself, he determined. When you set yourself to do something, notice the word is S-E-T, set himself. And then he proclaimed the fast. And this certainly showed the sincerity. Proclaiming the fast, seeking the Lord and proclaiming the fast proved the sincerity of his prayers. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, the Bible says, If my people, listen carefully, and most of us are familiar with it, could quote most of it, or at least know the content. He said, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, what is it for you and I to do these things ourselves? Humble, pray, seek, and turn. I mean, we need to turn from our ways too. A lot of people say, Well, I'm humble before God. I fear God. I pray all the time. But he says, And turn from our wicked ways. We talk about national repentance. Some of them have gone a few ways in that direction. But they're far from turning from their wicked ways. They prayed. Maybe some even fear. Maybe some even proclaim a fast. But it says turn from their wicked ways. And that's 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. I know of people who say, you know, during the times of crisis like we've gone through and told Daryl and myself and Tom and different things that have happened, you know, we're praying for you or we'll keep you in our prayers. Well, that's good if they really mean it and if they do and if they're right with God. But, you know, Amelia Anderson here that painted this baptistry picture many years ago says, I'm kind of, I like to kind of have my choice about who prays for me. Mm-hmm. Have a choice. You know why? Because, and this happened recently, and I won't go into detail, but one to say, I'm praying for you, and then all of a sudden, you hear the same man using God's name in vain and getting on all of his employees, and because he had a place of authority, just cussing them out and this and that and the other. I don't want that kind of guy praying for me. I want one that is living for God. Amen? Because I want one that God will hear and answer their prayers. And the Bible says that he that turneth, listen carefully, he that turneth away his ear from hearing God's word, from the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. See, if a man turns his ear away from hearing God and does not follow God's word, even his prayer is abomination. I don't want any abominable prayers going up for me. I want those from a good heart, a clean heart, and a child of God that really is concerned about my need. But anyway, you can take that any way you want to, but the Second Chronicles tells us that we're to turn from our wicked ways as well as to pray, doesn't it? They were all gathered together for a definite purpose. Look at this 20th chapter, verse 4. It says, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. All, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I mean, they all gathered together. All of God's family. And they were gathered together for a definite purpose. To seek the Lord because of their dire situation. Psalm 26, verse 8 says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. That's where they would come. The place where thine honor dwelleth. Do you love the habitation of God's house? Well, let's be in it then. That's where we need to be. Present. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And not only that, verses 6 and 7 here show us something else. We must recognize three things. The greatness of God, verse 6. The power of God, verse 6. And the promise of God, verse 7. God is seen, first of all, far off. In verse 6 it says, And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? That's in heaven. Now notice how he gets closer. God is seen afar off in heaven. The Bible says, Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Well, that's good. But it says next, And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? That's a little closer. That's on earth, isn't it? He comes down and he rules over the earth. And in thine hand is there not power and might? There's power and might, and none is able to withstand thee. The power of God. And then the promise of God. Art not thou our God? That's a little closer, isn't it? A little nearer. The God of heaven and the God that rules over the kingdoms of the earth, inhabitants of the earth, he's also our God. And that brings him close to home. We read that Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need to make this a personal application. Art thou not our God who drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? So he made his promise that this was their land. So the greatness of God and the power of God and the promise of God. You know, he rules over the kingdoms of men. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. When you and I get to thinking that these big dictators and rulers and evil despots that are all over the world, and we see them in many of the nations around the world that are just going to do what they want to do in spite of what it might do to other nations and people. You know who I'm talking about. Well, when we think they're going to do this and that and the other, don't worry. Who's in control? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. Amen. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And we have to remind ourselves that God is still in control. He's still in control. You say, well, look at this rogue nation here, and look at these people with their nuclear weapons, and look at these people that are doing all these bad things. Look to God, because He's in control. He's going to take care of it. I mean, when it comes to your own life, think of how frail you are. And any one of us could be cut off instantly. We're in God's hands. Amen. I hope we make it tomorrow. Hope we make it this year. Hope we make it another year. Remember, I preached last Sunday on sparing for another year. Let it alone this year also. We've got the year ahead of us. But we may not have all of it. But we have to do what God wants us to do while we have life and health and strength. And that's our business to do it. But the Bible says that we come a little closer in what we're talking about. It says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So if we're in trouble, we're in trials, who do we look to? God is our refuge and strength. And then we come to another point in our message. We've already said that there was a trial of faith. There was under the trial of faith that we must look up to God. And then we recognize these three great things: the greatness of God, the power of God, and the promise of God. And then we must stand upon His promise. Look at verse 8. It says, "And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name." And then we find the prayer of Jehoshaphat and all Judah. He mentions a sanctuary. He mentions God's name. The Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You run into the Lord's protection, and it's safe. And they mention the fourfold trials, the sword, and the judgment, and pestilence, and famine. Well, certainly they were facing the sword. Verse 10 shows us the attempt of the enemy to drive out the seed of Abraham. They wanted to drive out the seed of Abraham. Verse 9 says, "If we cry out to God in our affliction, God will hear." We know God will hear and answer our prayer. When we stand in His presence, it speaks of that. How they asked God to help? How did they ask God to help? They trusted God's power, because God is powerful enough. None is able to withstand the power of God. They are pleading His past acts that He had done for them. It says, "This is what you did. You didst drive out the inhabitants before us, before the people of Israel. You gave it to His people, Israel, to inherit." They pled the promise of God that He had made. And God's promise is to us that He will help us too when evil comes. Verse 12, they expressed their confidence in God. They said, "Our eyes are upon Thee." We must also recognize God's power to help us at any time, just as they recognize God's power. The Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do we recognize God's power to help us in our strait and in our trial? The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So not only that He is, but He'll reward. That He'll hear and answer our prayers. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Do we pray in the day of trouble and trial and testing? That's about all we can do, really, is turn to God and pray. And then in Psalm 65, verse 2, and this seems to be a kind of a title for God, O thou that hearest prayer. Who? Who are you talking to? O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Doesn't mention God, it doesn't mention His name, but it recognizes that God is the one that hears prayer. That's Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer. Now, when you would say that, who would you be looking to? Be looking to God, wouldn't you? To hear and answer your prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. And then we must recognize our helplessness. Look at verse 12 through 14 again. Let's read this passage here. 12 through 14. You have 2 Chronicles 20. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. That's far enough to show the point. We have no might against this great company. In other words, our helplessness is certainly to be recognized. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Have you ever thought about how weak we really are? And how frail? And how helpless? We must recognize our helplessness. Oh, I know you've got men, people, and men and women that think, I've got everything under control. Really? There's going to be a time you realize your helplessness. That you cannot do anything. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We see that without God, our strength departs. We have no strength apart from God. And then we must recognize our ignorance. Look at verse 12 again. It says, neither know we what to do. We don't even know what to do. We're not only helpless, but we don't know what to do. And that's something that we see, that we just have no confidence in our own decisions. We say, well, I decide to do it this way or that way. And we don't have any confidence in the decision we make. Because we say, we just really don't know what to do. But, notice the last statement. It says, but our eyes are upon thee. That's the thing. Even though we don't know what to do, our eyes are upon thee. We're looking to God. We must seek God's guidance. All Judah depending upon God. Men and women and children, whole families. Our eyes are upon thee. He didn't say, my eyes are upon thee, but our eyes are upon thee. And then verse 14, we find the Spirit of God comes to guide them. God made His Spirit to come first upon Jehaziel, and then it came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. We must have the Holy Spirit to guide us. Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have God's Word, but the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Word. And so when the Word is preached, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But the Holy Spirit is the one that illuminates that Word, so that the light shines upon the Word and guides us in the way that the Word directs us. His Word directs us, but we must have His guidance. And we must depend upon God for the victory. Look at verse 15. Joshua said, let me just drop on down to middle of the verse. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. What do we say? We must depend upon God for the victory. Notice God's message. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't worry about this great multitude. Sometimes we get our eyes, instead of on God, we get our eyes upon the problem. Say, oh, this is a great problem. I can't deal with this. But what? God says, it says here, but our eyes are upon thee. And Jehoshaphat says, the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Mm-hmm. What are we to do? What are we to do? He said in verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against him. What? This little group here going down against these three great enemies with other nations, other people beside, allied against them, a great multitude. And God says, go ye down against them. Behold, they come to the cliff of Ziz. That's verse 16. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook. Well, what are we going to do when we get there? Before the wilderness of Jericho, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Well, why go if we're not going to fight? See, but God says, go down. Set yourselves, stand ye still, to see and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go ye out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Isn't that something? His message was to go. That's what we're to do. It says, tomorrow you go down, just be there. God just says, you just be there. The battle is mine, but I want you there. Sometimes people say, well, if God's going to fight the battle, I'll just stay in the background here. No, He wants you there. He wants to show that He has power to take care of the situation. So He said, you know, you've heard time and time again situations that all of us have experienced. You had to be there. And I'll say that many things in her life, you had to be there to really know. I think all of you can identify with that. You try to explain it to somebody that was this way or that. Friend, you had to be there. You had to be there. And God tells us to be there. And He says, set yourselves. Be prepared. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord will be with you. Now the Bible said, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? That's Romans 8 verse 31. So tomorrow, go out against them. They were to be humble. In verse 18. For Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What was it they were to do? They were to be humble. They were to worship. They were to have faith. Verse 20, he says, believe, last part of verse 20, believe in the Lord your God. That's faith. So shall you be established. Believe His prophets. So shall you prosper. What? Three things. Humble, worship, and faith. And I want you to notice in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. What was it? All they were doing, they didn't have a gun pointed or a sword out or anything, or all the ballistics or anything, throwing stones. What did they do? When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and so on. What does it mean? Well, to worship the Lord, shouldn't we? Amen. And praise the Lord for what He's done. When they began. And when they began, the enemy was smitten. The Lord began to fight for them, and they were smitten, it says in that verse. And the children, they were against Judah, they were smitten. The last part of verse 22. What is the victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The victory of faith, and you read on down, you'll find in verse 23 where they were turned every man against his others. They fought among themselves. You know, if we could just get the forces of evil fighting among themselves, they'd let us alone, wouldn't they? Well, that's what was happening here. God said, I'll take care of that. I'll just let them do one another in. You guys will be all right. Isn't that good? God will take care of us. So anyway, what happened? Let me just give you a summary. The victory of faith. You know, 1 John 5 verse 4 says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And then Joshua was given the victory over Jericho earlier, remember? And we find that Gideon, he won the victory by some lamps and trumpets. They had lamps and break the lamps, let the light shine, and then blow the trumpets. And he had the victory there, didn't he? Gideon's case, Gideon's 300. And there was 120,000 Midianites. And God did the same thing. He turned them fighting against each other. When those trumpets blew, they got scared to death. And they thought, where's the enemy? They started just getting rid of each other. See, God has a way of turning the battle if we'll trust Him. He'll turn it for your good and His glory. And so Gideon had his Moses and Aaron by looking to God in prayer. You remember they met the Amalekites and Moses and Aaron and Hur. And Moses held his hands up and prayed and you know, his hands got weaker and he couldn't sustain his position in prayer. And so Aaron and Hur, they steadied his arms so that he could, they continued, and they're symbolical of prayer. And then what happened? At the same time, Joshua went out with the sword and took care of the Amalekites. The first enemy that Israel made after they came out of Egypt was the Amalekites. And the Bible says he confronted them with the edge of the sword. Why? The sword is symbolical of the Word of God. So prayer and the Word of God will do the job. It'll do the job. And we find that Jehoshaphat here, by singing and praising, won the victory. He just said, I'm going to set some singers out there and some people that praise the holiness of God. And that's all we know to do because we can't fight this great army. And besides, God told us not to, we shall not need to fight. He says, the battle is not yours, but God's. And they won the victory. Now then, what are you to do when you have a trial of faith? What must we do? Because we know it's coming. First of all, under this trial of faith, depend upon God. Secondly, we must recognize who He is and His power. And then third, fourth, on down, let me give you the fourth one. I probably skipped one or two, but we must stand upon His promise. He promised to take care of them. And then we must recognize our helplessness. And then we must depend upon God for the victory. And then He tells us exactly what to do. He says, you just be there and I'll take care of the situation. He wants us to face up to it, but He wants us to be reminded that He's the one that's going to ultimately take care of the situation. So whatever trials we're going through today, whatever situation we're in, what do we need to do? Our eyes are upon Thee. We have no power, neither know we what to do, but our eyes upon Thee. And if we come to that place of humility and we pray and ask God to help, God will help us. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me.